Hey, Buzzers! What's going on? Welcome to After Buzz TV, the Arrow After Show. We are in Season 5, Episode 17. Get it? It's entitled Capuchin, I think. Yay! Let's go. I can't decide whether you should live or die, or you'll probably go to death. Oh, are we on? We must be on. I'm just having a good time. Hey! I may put a few Russians to shame if I totally mispronounce the title of this episode, so I do apologize. But hello! Welcome! We are so happy, can you tell by our music, to have you here. Joining us on this side of the table, my name is Ali Kona Bradford. Be sure to follow all your fantastic, lovely hosts. I'm at Boys and Beauty 01. And of course, before they introduce themselves, I just want to say, extend an invite to all of you. We love when you co-host with us. So just use hashtag ABTVArrow and you will be right along here with us. But let's say hello to our fabulous host over here.
Hi, I am Lex Michael. I am all over social media at TheLexMichael.
Tari's not feeling well, so if you want to tweet him your best well wishes, he is on Twitter at TariJ, TauriJay. Hi, all my buddies, I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at KiaJ, that is KiaXet. Once again, I do not regret the song choice. Our hashtag's ABTVArrow, do the live chat. You already said this, we're covering the bases, life is good.
Not so good for some people on
this episode, though. That's the reason I wanted to do this song, because it's essentially about a sociopath.
Dude, I mean, let's get this straight, though. The dichotomy between the two was fantastic as far as going back and forth between the flashbacks and the present and really giving us, you know, in the past, our flashbacks, they've given us little hints as to what's going on in the present, and that's fine and dandy, and sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. This time, at least we got to see a direct correlation with what was going with what, and we saw the torture on one side, but then the role reversal of the torture happening on the other side.
Yes.
The parallelism was amazing. This episode was incredibly well put together. The writing, the acting, the fight choreography, everything. This episode was just incredible.
Yeah, things like
so good.
The way they were employing the flashbacks so effectively. Obviously, we're spending a lot more time in the flashbacks in this episode than we tend to. But using little things like, as you're escalating tension between Adrian and Oliver while Oliver's being tortured, and you're also escalating this physical confrontation between Oliver and Konstantin Kovar, and it's really exciting to see Dolph Lundgren back tonight. You're ratcheting up the tension in both scenes, and you're cross-cutting between the two of them so that your entire episode is building to this crescendo of like violence and sadness and darkness. And it's really, really spectacularly done.
Yes. Although I will say the entire time that we heard, well, first of all, we heard the reason why Adrian decided to become Prometheus, because this, that, and the third. But the entire time, and he's such a great villain, but I wanted to punch the TV screen every time he said, "Tell me your secret." And I was getting frustrated for Oliver because obviously he didn't realize. And it's like, WTF, what do you want?
It's like, I really want to know who the Flash is.
I mean, I really enjoyed the whole, oh, I'm Prometheus because he defied the gods. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, if you know your mythology, Prometheus got chained to a mountain and had two vultures rip out his liver every day. Because he was immortal and it would grow back. And so he's just eternally tortured by vultures because it turns out that actions have consequences.
Right. You being punished ultimately, as the myth goes, for attempting to bring fire to from the top of Mount Olympus, bringing fire and thereby light and thereby knowledge to man.
But maybe he felt eternally tortured by the fact that his father was killed by Oliver, and somehow in his mind, his like cuckoo mind, it made sense.
I feel like he went for the namesake for the defying the gods thing, but it's like, it's like on the internet
where
you read the headline and the subheadline and think you know the entire thing, whereas the article's like, I've got five different points that aren't in those 20 words. Do you want to? Nope. If he gets shot in the liver, I will just laugh madly.
I wonder if whomever wrote this whole thing did their homework, or if they did wiki the first paragraph and not realize the rest. Because that would be a little funny if that was the case.
I would like to think the writer did their homework.
I would hope if they're being paid to write that they maybe at least read the Wikipedia page.
All the way
if
down.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
But it did feel a little bit, for a guy that we know is as brilliant and as calculating as Adrian Chase, it did feel a little bit like,
weird.
That's why? That seems a little bit on the nose for you. So I was wondering if maybe this idea of, you go a little deeper into the Prometheus myth, like we were just talking about, this idea of him being punished specifically for trying to enlighten people, both metaphorically and literally. I was still wondering, maybe is that going to come into play a little bit more somewhere later? Or it's just, it's the God thing. We'll move on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Really quick, though, if we could have our chat, I know you have chat pulled up, but if our engineer could pull chat up for me, that would be awesome. So I could say hello to all of you. Thank you for joining us, because I know we always have tons of people who stay up late with us. So thank you. We always appreciate it. I don't know why the random British accent comes out, but it does. Whatevs. Let's see what everybody's saying.
That's on our drinking game for this show.
Yes.
Oh, well, I don't drink. But
no, but
you don't,
like,
have to play.
Yeah, at home, every time that you
every time
snap
the British,
into the British
accent comes out, every time talking with hands happens, every time we make a joke about being a Jay Garrick.
There we go.
Because that's a thing now.
Wait,
yeah.
Darkest Arrow episode to date. Panel, do you agree? Lex, Katie, Ali Kona. Yes, I think we all talked about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is Arrow Does Saw.
A little bit, yeah, especially if you look at the first movie, it is two guys in a little room and there's a bunch of torture.
Oh, I just meant straight up torture porn. That just Arrow was a lot more tasteful about, like, it's happening, but we're not necessarily going to show
it
to you.
Right.
Okay, but the part that, and this is totally out of order, so I apologize, but the part that stuck out to me the most is when Oliver was skinning that guy alive, and he said at
practice.
The end, yeah, it was just for practice.
Yeah.
For someone who, what did he say? Wait, hold on. Who I want to become, or what was he practicing?
No, it was just practice.
No. He said to become someone else.
To become something else. Yeah, he said there's
something else.
And we again, like, we came back to that idea of him bisecting his personality, essentially, and how when he puts this hood on now, that in his mind at this point takes on all of this darkness, and he can release it from himself in theory. And
right.
Of course, Anatoly's a little bit smarter and goes, no, all you're doing is you're taking the monster, you're putting it outside of yourself, and what you're going to do is you're going to feed it till that thing's bigger than you are, and then it's going to eat you, bro.
See, but that's a good friend. He called him out on his shit.
Yeah. Anatoly's like his best bro, as it turns out.
Anatoly is one of the best characters in this series.
Hilarious.
Let's be real. I love Anatoly so much.
Yeah. Any hooser.
Much love for Anatoly in this room.
So much love for Anatoly, because he's wonderful, and I'm glad that he has survived up until the present, and I will be very sad if this season winds up killing him off. Not surprised, but very sad.
That would be such a bummer.
That would
suck a lot. I feel like it's going to get so much worse before it gets any better for any of these
people.
We've
got like 5-6 more episodes.
Yeah.
And plenty of time. Plenty of time. I love is that we have, and I missed out last week, so I didn't get to say this, we got the straight-up ghost face reveal for Adrian Chase, and now he's just chewing the scenery. And I'm so happy with that.
Yes.
Because watching him just go completely nuts, and he's not overacting, but we're starting to get to that line where it's like, dude, you really gotta chill. You are being super intense, and you need to relearn how to breathe. Usually when someone's ghost-facing, they have to do it for, like, 20 minutes.
Right.
He has 6 more episodes that he has to do this in, and I am so excited.
He has not gone full Nicolas Cage yet, but it's definitely, like,
ghost-facing and Nicolas Cage are two different genres.
Yes.
Like, they're close, but they never quite intersect.
But it's big. Like, he's definitely, that this secret is out, and he can essentially strut with it, you know what I mean? Like, he's gotten a lot bigger in his performance. I love it is... it is so very comic booky, but I also love that as scenery chewing as it can be at times, I never feel like it's not grounded emotionally. I feel like the dude's doing so much really genuinely good work that he keeps a performance that could really easily be several levels over the top from getting away from him.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was going to say a term that you use, but I'll do PG, bat poop crazy. Because that's what Lex likes to say, but not the PG version. Anywho, but yes, he definitely has a few screw looses. What? Screws?
I like that. He has a few screw looses.
There he goes. Loose. Screw loose.
But the fact that because you get to see his perspective, and he's explaining to Oliver, outside of the fact that he's trying to get Oliver to admit something to prove a point, but he's hanging the pictures of all these people that he calls victims, which they are, but at the same time, Oliver's trying to justify and turn around and say, but those are people that did bad things, and you idiot, like, you killed your wife. How in your mind is that okay?
Well, I'm sad about killing my wife, but you're still a killer.
Okay. All right.
I never read it as Adrian Chase trying to suggest that he actually has a moral high ground over Oliver. I think the point, if anything, that he was trying to make is that Oliver's not anywhere near as... Oliver doesn't have that high ground either. Oliver is not this altruistic, dangerous, but positive force for good, ultimately. He's doing it not out of a sense of duty, but because he just has a taste for it.
Well, Oliver has a facade of functionality. And he was doing his best, and Adrian was doing his best this episode to take a hammer to it, and succeeded at the end.
I'm really going to totally butcher this conversation for 2 seconds because I was looking at the chat and it's somebody's birthday. So I just want to take a moment.
Art Master Austin Prophet.
Yes. Happy birthday. Thank you for joining us on your birthday.
Happy 24th.
Yay.
Indeed. Happy birthday.
Okay. Anyways, back to our regularly scheduled program.
Yeah, that when you're doing something like this, when you are Adrian Chase and you are trying to prove a point, you kind of have to take logic and put it in the backseat. Like, well, you're still a killer. That's great. But I'm trying to break you right now, and that's what we're talking about. Like, right. Just don't
change the subject.
Yeah. And because he has Oliver literally chained to the floor, he's in a position of power, and he can do that. This conversation is on his terms because Oliver is chained down and locked up, and if Adrian doesn't like where he's going, he can stab him or shoot him with arrows and then just walk away and go on his merry day and then come back and be like... Are you still alive?
Right.
But here's Let's fix that.
But here's the thing. Oliver has clearly proven that he's a master of enduring pain. Not that he enjoys it, but he can handle it. He handled 5 years of it. But his weakness is his strength, if you will, his friends. So as soon as Chase starts bringing in the whole concept of your friends, oh, P.S., I know where your son is at, and hey, look, there's your old buddy Evelyn.
But then he straight up admitted that he doesn't know where his son is. You but don't know, can, but for me, it's a matter of time. Well, okay.
I don't know. When he says it, he's done enough so far and gotten away with enough that when he says that, I'm inclined to believe that given enough time, the dude would figure it out. And that's
exactly that
is why I totally buy that he was actually able. He's the first person, I think, on this show who it seems at least at this point has broken the Green Arrow. It's not the physical torture. As you just said, Oliver can withstand the physical pain. The physical pain is more a way to pass the time while Adrian Chase gets inside the dude's head. It's preying on all of the elements that you were talking about. Yeah, it's his loved ones. It's this feeling of complete powerlessness, knowing that if I can't get out of here, he will do what he says he'll do. So far, if nothing else, Adrian Chase has been a man of his word.
Yeah.
He is weirdly both the Bane and the Joker of this season, it seems. And I do like the, after last week, the reveal that he and Talia were working together and this was their motivation and their relationship. I pointed out the fairly obvious parallel to The Dark Knight. And I like that we are getting a little bit of that throughout this episode as well, in that you have the guy who's ostensibly playing the Bane role taking your hero, putting him in a dark room, saying it's not just torture of your body, it's torture of your soul, and then homeboy actually succeeds in breaking him. It's like, I see what you're doing. I like it.
See, but you know what?
Here's the difference.
Oh, go ahead.
Batman has Alfred to go back to, and that's kind of it. Oliver has all of his people. He can come back and be like, you know, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And they can all be like, excuse me, you've just been visibly tortured and missing for 6 days. You should maybe lie down and we will do some, we'll do some first aid and it'll be great. And then when you feel a little saner, we can have this conversation. But now is not the good time. Like, when you're drunk, when you're sleep deprived, and when you've been tortured for 6 days are the trifecta of when you should not be making decisions.
It cuts to credits, and I'm hoping the very next thing that any of them said was, how about we get you some lemonade, buddy, and we'll talk about this when you're feeling a little better.
Can you sit, and can we bandage you up? And that's a nasty burn. We need to get that clean so it doesn't go septic. Let's get you a shower and some
antibiotics. And like, yeah, I feel like once that's done, if nothing else, even if Oliver's still like, I'm out, he wins. He
at least he'll have medical attention.
Right, he'll live, but he'll also maybe remember that they'll probably go after the dude anyway,
if
he quits. So it goes without saying, it's a terrible idea for the Green Arrow to quit right now, but
he's made the team to be self-sufficient in his absence, and we've seen that in previous episodes when they took down Vigilante.
Yes,
this is my problem with masked and voice synthesizers. I just can't.
They all sound alike.
They do. It's terrible. I've called him Alchemy. I've called him Anarchy. They're all the same.
Savitar.
What is Savitar?
There's another one. There is another one you forgot about.
I know, but Savitar's like Megatron in terms of that really weird Michael Bay design. So, whatever.
Really quick, I wanted to bring up, and this is a two steps back, but just talking about the things that he was saying to get to Oliver in his mind, is the thing he said about his crusade. Your crusade is based on a lie and a price to be paid, and basically saying that all your loved ones paid that price. And then he had the audacity to list all the people, Tommy, your mother, this person, that person, knowing that those are all the things that are digging salt into the wound. Yes. Even more. So again, he's done a lot of his homework to know what demons Oliver has in his
very
closet.
Specific, which again is why, even though he has no clue where Oliver's son is currently, when he says I'm gonna find him,
but
I'm going
will. Yeah,
dude'll probably cool. You should maybe listen to the guy because he'll do it.
But here's the thing really quick, sorry, is Oliver said he's in hiding, and one of the things Chase said is, yeah, but you haven't looked for him. Because I'm sure Oliver went, he's in hiding, not, he's in hiding, let's see if I can find him.
Right.
He doesn't have time for that. You know?
Sure.
So, if you haven't put any effort, that doesn't mean that someone else who can put effort into it won't find him.
Back to making decisions, Ruthless Lieutenant says, give Oliver a Snickers.
Which,
he's not himself when he's hungry. He puts on that hood and he likes killing people. But if he had a Snickers,
when he's been tortured.
He takes one bite and he's beginning of season 4 Oliver again, where they're making breakfast together and it's all like warm color palette.
And see, to me, that invalidates a lot of what Adrian was saying is, oh, you like to kill, oh, you're terrible, or you like to kill. Well, yeah, okay, I'm not going to argue that he's never liked to kill, and I'm not going to argue that that's pretty messed up. But he also very much made the effort to step away from it and to try to live a normal life. And he was ready to commit to Felicity and to that normal life. And she was the one going crazy, getting back into the vigilanteism, who didn't want to do 2.5 kids, a white picket fence, and a dog, and making quiche for the neighbors.
Like, sure.
Way to go, Felicity.
She was not into that. But he was ready to scale it back. He was ready to leave this life behind him. He was ready to commit to having a normal life. So coming back in and saying, you're wrong because you like to kill and you've always liked to kill. Well, yeah, but he's also shown that he has the strength of character to turn away from that.
Right.
So
but it's
the fact that it's all these people coming out of the woodwork and going, yeah, but I'd really like to just murder the hell out of you. Adrian pushed him into this corner by choosing to do this.
Yeah.
And so I don't buy the argument that Oliver cannot change and cannot be better and has never been better, because we've seen him be better and we've seen circumstances and the fact that there's a big Oliver-shaped hole in the city when he's not there drag him back in. So I don't think we can stand here and just blame him this entire time for you're terrible and you've always been terrible and you'll still be terrible when he's shown us that, no, he can absolutely change.
Right. I think that's true. I mean, we have seen for long stretches, we've seen his entire journey be about how can I not be this thing. But that's why I think that makes this doubly interesting, because it's not so much about whether Adrian Chase is right. I mean, I think you can really effectively make the argument that he's way off base. That is so much less important than whether or not he's able to convince Oliver that he's right. It seems it seems like he's right. He's doing it, is what it looks like. All Oliver needs is somebody to get just deep enough into his head, just have it make just enough sense for him to go, oh, this battle that I've been fighting these several years to be anything but this monster, I failed, because that's all that I can be. And once you get him to buy into that, then a couple more steps and it's real easy to tear that whole house down.
Well, so I would say one of my notes that I had put when I saw all this conversation going on is he won Prometheus, meaning that his whole gimmick was to get, because you can physically take him down, but again, he can endure pain, so he will come back. But once you break him emotionally, and he just did it so well to get Oliver to actually admit that he enjoys killing at that very moment, like, game over.
Oh, he won the battle.
Mm-hmm.
War ain't over.
Pushed Oliver into the Walter White moment, finally. And I don't know about you guys, I figured pretty early that this is what he was trying to get at, that that's what he was trying to get Oliver to finally admit, both openly and to himself. But, and this is really where I gotta give all the credit in the world to Stephen Amell and Josh Segarra for their performances in this episode, because that, especially when you see it coming from the very beginning, that moment could have fallen very, very flat. And I thought both in that moment and throughout the episode tonight, the two of them did just such stellar work, and it made all of those moments not just come to life, but like they really elevated all of it.
They hit each other.
They really, like, seriously, I was like, goodness, I'm feeling it in my stomach.
Yeah. The writing, the direction, the acting, the cinematography, the everything. These episodes were so incredibly well put together. Like, it was difficult to watch. I keep going back to the, yeah, we're gonna skin a man scene. Like, Oh dear God.
But it showed the true depth of his darkness, his ability, because we never saw him get that deep before. We knew that he may have enjoyed killing or whatever, and he might have arrowed some people, and some people might go, oh, okay, well, that's technically like a hunting whatever justification.
The most dangerous game, man!
Either way, it's the darkest we've ever seen him get. And I do want to talk a little bit about him meeting Diana's mother and the fact that he had to come to terms with the fact that, how are my babies?
They're dead. Who killed him? A monster.
Yes! And I went, oh, that's a tough conversation. Ooh.
I do like, too, though, that this ties directly into this question that we've been talking about this idea, is he and can he be more than a monster? Because he doesn't kill Tyana's mother, but he does, by talking to her, essentially put her in a situation where she dies. He is not directly responsible, but it is, in a way, a little bit his fault.
It is, but do you know what? I feel like, and look, let me not speak for Dee's mom, but I'm going to speak for her mom. After a mother finds out that her children are dead, you want to get your vengeance, but at the same time, maybe a piece of mom was like, I'll be with my children.
Yes, I hope that brought her tons of comfort in her final moments.
She kept, from what we saw, she kept the secret.
Exactly, because she could have easily saved her own life and been like, this is what happened, or she could have lied and said, I was tortured for this information, or it was stolen from me, or whatever. She probably would have ended up dead anyways, let's be honest.
Yeah,
Kovar doesn't strike me as a tremendously generous or forgiving person.
No. But I do want to talk about the fight choreography, since, Katie, you did mention it, but the fight between Oliver and Kovar, first of all, he says, oh, you're you, because he gets to see who the hood really is.
Oliver Queen.
There was a moment, and I wrote in my notes something about legs, just so I remembered it, but there was a moment in the choreography where they're fighting, and their legs are literally interlocked, and they do a roll, almost like a barrel roll, and I was like, yes!
Yes.
You know, because that is well thought out choreography, and it does take coordination, it does take timing to do it, and it looks so effortless, so...
Well, and it's always fun to see Dolph Lundgren fight, too. Like, I'm glad that they brought him back and they utilized him so heavily in this episode. Like, I thought we were just going to get another scene or two of him hanging out, drinking, being super Russian Dolph Lundgren, and that's great. But dude did a ton tonight, and he actually got to get into a couple of really awesome extended fight sequences. There was also a moment where he divulges to the crowd, he's probably a little sloshed, and he's like, hey, we're going to kill you all. This is funny. And he puts the gas mask on, and I'm going, We're doing the Dark Knight Rises thing, right? We got our Bane villain over there, and over here we got a big dude in a gas mask, and I'm very happy.
He's just, good evening, and then leaves. And I'm like, that is both the best and worst mic drop. Oh my God. I just like seeing him get thrown through a table.
Yes.
Like, I really appreciated that. I love it when furniture gets destroyed in fights. That's just one of those things that makes me really super happy for some reason. They don't like me in IKEA. So watching him just get thrown through this table next to this corpse of this woman who died because of the gas was like, yep, I'm in it. I love it. I'm down. What a good fight. What a good fight.
Really quick, I have to make a correction on my behalf, and somebody in the chat brought it up, so thank you. Sorry I didn't catch your name. But they were just saying that it's not Diana.
Yeah, Tyana.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and what's funny is when...
It's like T-A-E-N-N-E or
something. But even when she came in and guested on our show, I remember having to ask her in person and asking, wait, is it Diana? And she actually clarified it for us, but that was so long ago.
I believe it's T-A-I-Anna.
T-I-A-N-A.
T-A-I, like Ty-Anna.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Sorry,
it's
my apologies.
My apologies.
Anyhooser.
Yeah.
But I did like, whoever did the casting did a really excellent job, because I was looking at Mom and I thought, whoa, they really do look alike.
Yep.
Excellent job. Just side note. Anyhow.
Yeah, it was super fun. I feel like, I want to bring this up, it's less apropos of nothing and more in line with previous parts of the conversation, but I just keep pulling thoughts out of the dredge that is my mind. I think people aren't taking into account as much what Oliver has gone through. Because we're sitting back and looking at five seasons, and we're getting to the point in the flashbacks where he's going to wind up back on the island, and we're going to see him shoot an arrow into a fire, and, you know, someone's going to pick him up, and we'll be at the beginning of season one.
Yes.
Which it'll be really interesting to see him flashback to season one in season six. Like, we've gone circular. This is nuts. But the fact that he spent 5 years on this island, and we've seen this, and we've seen him continually get tortured and broken, and he is someone who did not have any of this in his background.
No, he was a pretty boy.
He was a rich, pretty boy. And that really, to put an none too fine a point on it, that really screws up a person.
Oh, sure.
And so we're sitting here going, oh, he likes killing, and that's terrible. He's also had about five different very skilled killers take him under their wings, beat him over the head, and then tell him, you have to do this.
Yeah.
Right.
He's had people from the League of Assassins. He's had Manu Bennett. He's just had all sorts of different, not really great people go, you would be a great tool to use, and then break him that much further for their cause. So by the time he hits about the sixth iteration of that, he is absolutely messed up, and killing is a success condition.
Yeah.
Like, when your opponent is dead, you have succeeded.
Congratulations.
And that's the, I've won.
Here's a
yay,
hat.
Go me.
Have your murder hat.
But, and so, win. I like killing because it makes me feel good. Well, no kidding. That's been trained into you.
I'm genuinely hoping, because we got as far down, specifically that road, even just tonight as we did, I'm genuinely hoping that, since presumably he's not going to jump back up next week and be like, I feel better now, you guys, get out there.
Boy, that Snickers is great.
I'm making breakfast and smiling. Look at how warm it looks in here. I'm hoping that we can explore that a little bit more, because we have always paid lip service to the broken psychology of Oliver Queen on this show, and sometimes we've gone a little bit further than just paying lip service to it, but constantly we've addressed it, we've talked about it, but we have not, in my opinion, really explored, like, Katie, exactly what you're talking about, because that's always been a part of his character. But you need people around him that are really going to specifically poke at those elements of his makeup, and I don't feel like we truly had that until this year.
Oh, no, we had a lot of, I'm going to hurt your friends and family to hurt you, but we've never really had anyone get to the bottom of it.
Think about your actions, bro.
Well, at the
we've
same
talked
time, too.
About... Well, we've talked about how being a soldier affects someone, because we've had a lot of that with Diggle and dealing with Andy and dealing with his own feelings on things. Like, we've addressed that pretty well, but soldier and vigilante are not the same thing.
Well, and at the same time, too, because Oliver / the Arrow is in a position of being a hero, you don't really think about the psychology of the hero and how he became the hero and the fact that it came from a dark past, because you just think hero, he's out to save people, not that he's been through all these things. But at the same time, going back to what you were saying as far as, you know, everything that happened with the torture, well, he has progressed. Even though Prometheus has gotten into his mind to make him think that he's 10 steps back and just a vicious killer that hasn't admitted it to himself, he could have killed Evelyn, who, P.S., was not on his side, but he showed his own growth in saying that he could have easily killed her. He snatched that knife out of her so quickly. Maybe she let him have it easily. I don't know, but her life was at stake, so I doubt it.
Was it, though?
They assume, that's the thing, is like, for that plan to work the way it worked, you really have to assume that there's no way Oliver Queen is actually going to kill her. And I love that they know Oliver well enough to know that there was no way he was going to kill her.
Or Adrian didn't know him well enough,
but
managed to convince her, oh yeah, there's no way. So either which way, it's not really a loss to him.
So do you guys think, and this is just a silly, superficial question, but all those bruises on her face, were they real? Did he really beat her up for the sake of be in the role?
Oh yeah, or was neither of them are makeup artists.
Between
all of my research and my years of revenge, I also learned how to makeup artist, because it makes me feel better about myself and my art.
Totally. It's no, like possible. If you train with the League, you have to stitch your own costumes and everything. Like, there's a whole, there's, you got to get badges.
Year lighting candles.
Until they hand you a sword, it's a little like the Scouts, as a matter of fact. But Eva, I like
I never got a makeup artist badge in the Scouts. Learned how to tie a hell of a knot, though.
It's like really artsy scouts until they hand you a sword, and then it's like really murdery artsy scouts. Anyway, I like seeing...
candles for days.
I like seeing... Mine burns for 4 hours without melting. I like seeing Evelyn back. I like seeing just how... very disturbing how they're utilizing her character now, and as it turns out, she's also crazy pants. Not just... I don't like you and I'm working with this dude. It seems like she's actually Crazy Pants herself.
Maybe she's Crazy Pants' girlfriend and we just don't know about it yet.
Sure.
It takes
one
to know
one. Or maybe he broke her.
Maybe.
I would not
But she
be...
had to have some sort of motivation behind it. Something had to happen to one of her loved ones for her to jump on
her parents. Which is why... died because of Oliver. I mean, we had this in a previous season. So that's... we've had that motivation established before, but... if you have, if you're able to wiggle into someone's psyche using one of those cracks, we've seen that Adrian is smart enough and is able to just completely mess people up. So it's, oh, you hate the Green Arrow? You want to kill him? Great, here's the plan, but first we need to train you. And so I would not be surprised if she is 10 flavors of broken, courtesy of Adrian.
And I would love, and that's why I'm so very glad that she wasn't actually killed off in this episode.
Yeah,
I'm
that was
hoping...
a little anticlimactic.
Well, it was a couple of things, too. That moment happened.
Bye.
That moment happened, right? And I'm going, all right, well, this episode has been very, very strong, but that was not the most convincing neck snap I've ever seen.
No.
And as it turns out, wasn't it, a real neck snap. So, like, it's great. I loved it.
But it was enough for Oliver to fall for it.
Hey, he was emotionally invested.
It's dark
he was
in there.
Already beaten.
Who knows when
delirious.
He ate a Snickers last?
She can hold her breath for 10 minutes.
But I like that it worked. It got the result that they were looking for. I like that she does now get to live another day. So hopefully we can start to explore a little bit more of that, how that relationship got to that place. Because on paper she's got a motivation. But there's having a motivation to dislike Oliver Queen. There's even having a strong enough one that it drives you to try and harm him. And then there's, like, whatever's happening here.
We're missing a chunk of time in which she's been working with Prometheus. I would say probably before she became part of Oliver's team, she got recruited.
Absolutely.
Like, she's been a sleeper from the beginning. And so we're missing that chunk of time, and that's a set of flashbacks that I'd love to see in an upcoming episode, is this is how she fell in with Prometheus, this is how he found her, or it was a crazy random happenstance or whatever, and this is the training that he put her through, and this is the planning, and this is the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Like, I want that set of flashbacks. I want those gaps filled in.
I do believe Good Guy asks if we thought that Evelyn was going to die, and I think absolutely. I think that she's just a tool that somehow has been coaxed into thinking that she's part of this evil plan, and while she is, she's really just a tool.
Well, yeah.
Is she? Go ahead.
No, okay. I was going to say, she's put herself in a situation, unfortunately, even if you could sit down with her and she could really talk about her point of view and why she's doing what she's doing, even if you could go... okay, I don't agree. Probably wouldn't approach it the same way, but I definitely see where you're coming from. She has put herself in a position where if any of our roster of heroes is having a morally gray day like they often do, no one in her life now particularly cares all that much whether she lives or dies.
I don't see her making it out the other side of the season, but I also don't see Oliver killing her. I think it would be Renee.
I
thought it was going to be Prometheus. Like, you've served your purpose. Okay, thanks, bye.
I think it would be Renee.
Interesting.
I don't think it would be Oliver. You. I agree with that.
Yeah, no.
I think it could be, again, if anyone on that team is having one of those days that they have periodically where they're not, you're better with the alignment chart than I am, chaotic, where they're doing the chaotic, help me with the boxes.
Most of them are neutral good.
There we go. The slightly more crazy one.
Be neutral good.
The slightly more crazy one that they all sometimes do. What's that?
What?
Like chaotic good, maybe?
Yeah.
What's the one but where they might actually kill somebody?
That's when you wind up in... well, you can kill someone if you're good.
Okay, right. You can be... right? Okay, so if they're having a chaotic good day, anyone else on that team might kill Evelyn. If they're not...
if they slip from neutral good to true neutral?
Sure. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You would know better than... I don't know the boxes. But...
lawful, neutral, and chaotic is how you go about things. Good, neutral, and evil is what you want.
There we go. There we go. Okay, so if they're having a weird box day...
D&D alignments.
Any one of them might kill Evelyn. If they're not, if they're all operating at peak heroism, still might not matter, because the dude that she has aligned herself with has no problems killing people if it becomes a necessity. But let's not forget, it just happened. Dude killed his own wife. Clearly wasn't planning to and was just like, oh well, I gotta kill my wife now. So...
Oh, but he's mourning. he's mourning, guys.
He's probably like, darn, I wish I didn't have to...
Is he?
He seems like a nighttime kind of guy, not a morning... Yeah.
Wow. There's a part of me, I will buy up to a point... I can buy maybe that he feels bad about having to do it, but clearly he's like, well,
revenge is more important.
This, I gotta make this point real hard, so...
Literally, make like, this point real hard.
Which part of my life is more important? This revenge scheme that I've been cooking up for years, or the woman that I've been married to for ostensibly years?
Murder!
Like, sorry, honey, you're collateral damage. Boy, it's a good thing we didn't have any kids. Bye!
Oh, man.
What's worse is that she's pregnant and didn't tell him. No, I'm messing with you. You know that.
Oh, wait. When did that happen? Did I miss that? Jeez.
Oh, no. I was just cranking it up for maximum horrifying drama.
It's
like,
worse.
They would have had to do specific... Yeah, that would have come up in the autopsy.
It's the Arrowverse is Red Wedding. It happened, and I didn't even know that's what I was seeing.
Someone thinks that... Well, do you think Felicity will kill Evelyn?
No.
I don't see her as the killing type. I just want to take a moment, because I know you guys
she
are having a
directly
huge
murder
conversation.
People.
No. Someone's laughing. I don't know. Haha, I'm glad you're laughing. Okay, panel, would it be a cool story if Felicity went dark and killed Adrian?
I feel like with only a few episodes left in the season, that might be too big a leap from where she is right now to directly... not impossible. You could do it, but I feel like with so many plates spinning right now, that maybe is a bit of a leap, but... I'm very curious to see how far this Helix business takes her and what... Because it's got... That doesn't end well. So I'm curious to see what that leads her to, if that leads her to make greater and greater compromises.
Right. Well, for Helix, let's talk a little bit about Helix then. Are we good? Are we good for switching over? Or are we...
Yeah, I was just going to say really quickly, you got a shout out, Katie, for being the most evil host, and they did the mwahahaha. So if you want to go ahead and do one of those real quick.
Thank you,
everybody.
Jonathan Demming.
She really is scary, guys.
Yep. Nope. I got it. It actually scares one of the producers. He doesn't produce on my shows anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, it seems like Felicity is using a Helix, I hesitate to say almost as a matter of convenience, but I think she started to realize just how far in over her head she truly is. And that it's become less of a, oh yeah, I'm in it to win it, I really want to do this, I'm really interested in your movement, and more, okay, I can do these things, but only if I can use you guys for this, or if you do this thing for me, because I really sincerely need this information, but boy, I am not comfortable hacking a DoD satellite.
Yeah, but I feel like at the same time, too, some of it's starting to become a little bit fun.
She's neutral good, she's leaning towards true neutral. These people are neutral evil, and that is not a good.
Yeah.
Or at least they have been presented to us, the viewer, as neutral evil. We don't really know enough about them aside from Hacker Conglomerate, who is down with hacking Department of Defense satellites. Like, as someone with a dad who was in the military and did satellites, I cannot tell you how messed up that is. Like, wow.
If they're not sinister, they're not doing a very good job at convincing anybody that they're not sinister. But Ali Kono, like what you were saying about how there does seem to be, and now hopefully she is, the lights are starting to come on for her, but a little bit of an element of excitement in it for her, certainly. And she gets to go and independently of the team, have these little adventures and get stuff done. Mm-hmm. To me, there's almost, and we've talked about addiction largely in terms of, you know, with characters like Captain Lance and with Theon or Bloodlust, this to me is like,
Felicity's
delving into it. And very much like, oh, I can stop whenever I want. It's totally fine. I've got this covered. I don't need help. I'm good. We're fine. We got this.
But I think she's also realizing that she didn't really have the big picture when she went in and said, yep, I'm all in. Great. You don't actually need to know why you're doing this, but we need you to do it.
Right.
And she hasn't been on a need-to-know basis with the people she works with in years. Mm-hmm. Not since she found out that Oliver was the Green Arrow.
Right. I want to jump topics really quickly, because we haven't had a chance to talk about Malcolm and the fact that he showed up. Hello, hi!
Hello, my baby! Hello, my honey! Hello, my ragtime gal!
It makes a ton of sense to see him here. The closer we get to the present, the more sense it makes that somebody with Malcolm Merlyn's background and his reach Sure, it's actually totally viable that he would be in business in some capacity with Kovar.
Because at this point, he's still planning the undertaking.
Yes, and this would be close enough that he must be actively planning the undertaking this point.
And is he the supplier of the gas? The make-your-skin-bubble-and-you-vomit-white-stuff gas?
I don't think he's the supplier so much as it is he knows where it's going. I don't think it's his shipment that's being stolen, but he definitely has the information. Like, that's what I took away from it.
And then we also see him again at the end, where it seems like... It seemed pretty definitive to me at the end of the fight between Oliver and Kovar that Kovar was done. He got a big old knife right in the center of him. That's usually enough.
But here's what
I thought. That was a tiny little knife, and there's a lot here that you can actually survive if you get medical attention quickly enough. If he really wanted to make sure Kovar was dead, he would have gone for the throat. It doesn't make sense to me that he went for a gut shot and, with a 2-inch blade.
And Dolph Lundgren's a big dude. I guess in my head, I just assumed that they wouldn't have left that building without confirming Kovar was dead.
You'd think they'd have learned to double tap by now.
Here's what I thought, and I'm not trying to jump into prediction territory, but
a specific prediction about that.
Yeah, and so I'll forget it by the time we get there in the show, so I'm just going to say it out loud. But Kovar is laying on the table, and you see all these straps, and we saw his face, so it's still Kovar. But I swear I thought I saw little pieces of skin or weird stuff, and I was like, wait, plastic surgery? You're Adrian Chase. We know he has a secret identity. Are you Kovar?
I don't think that's... it, because they'd also have to make his entire frame so much smaller. They'd have to, like, come back. They'd have to sink him to the ocean and let the pressure, like, collapse his body.
Like a diamond.
And I think he would die if they did that.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, you know what? I was having a moment. I was making bedroom eyes at the camera and giving a prediction, and you guys just put it to shame.
So do we think, well, there's this doesn't seem physically possible bit that needed to be addressed. Do we think that he's coming back in the flashbacks or in the present?
Could go either way, and we'll see Prometheus has alluded a number of times, Prometheus, both in the mask and also once he's revealed as Adrian, that he's part of a game, a web that spins out pretty far. I don't think it's beyond, especially we know that the Brotva is coming back in the present.
Next week,
and I'm sure in the weeks to come. I certainly don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that Kovar could return in the present as well.
Yeah, good point.
Irrelevant comment that
go
I have to
win.
Bring
yes.
up. Okay, go fight win. I loved my favorite moment in this entire episode was, hello, Malcolm Merlyn, CEO of Merlyn Industrial, whatever it was. Anatoly, Merlyn. Whatever his last name. Gangster. I was like...
Anatoly Naizev.
There you go.
Gangster. And this is why Anatoly is everyone's favorite.
Yes. Yeah.
Or at least our favorite. And obviously, we are representative of everyone.
I also like, too, and they didn't wink, and they could have, even though it's his other hand, they could have winked at the fact that he doesn't have the other hand anymore, but he had two people hands in this one.
It was very much, this is the past. This is not Malcolm Merlyn, the Legends time traveler, coming in and doing this. This is Malcolm Merlyn, the past.
Well, that's what I was about to comment on, is how much I love that we have this universe now, where in the span of a week, we not only get these four shows that are connected, that are having wildly different types of episodes. I mean, last night, Flash had a musical crossover with Supergirl, which was so delightful and so heartwarming and so fun. And the very next night, you get maybe the darkest hour that Arrow has ever done in the same universe.
I'm not going to say maybe. I'm going to say absolutely.
Probably, right? Like, I'd have to go back. Like, the one where Deathstroke kills her mom is a bummer.
I mean, that's pretty bad, but that one's not dark all the way through. That one's dark in the last 10 minutes. This one is like, Arrow does Saw.
Yeah.
We skinned a man at the 25-minute mark. Like,
but
that was a thing that occurred, and he got the info and did the rest for practice. Like,
but we are now also seeing, too, in the back half of the season, we're starting to see these actors that we had heard months and months ago had signed these overall deals to appear on multiple shows. We're really starting to see across the programming block that starting to come to fruition. And case in point is Malcolm Merlyn, who in the span of a week has appeared on three of these shows. All of the shows that take place in the dimension that Malcolm Merlyn lives, he appeared on. We've got him on the Flash musical, singing as the gangster in the fantasy. We've got him showing up at the end of Legends to help rewrite reality with the rest of the Legion of Doom. And now we have him doing deals with the Brotva in the flashbacks on Arrow this week. And it's great. Like, it's magic. More, just put Barrowman on every show.
And I'm sure he's having a blast being able to do
that. And I don't just mean CW shows. I mean...
everything.
Every show that is on TV needs a little, just a splash of, like you're putting lemon on a salad or something, that much Barrowman on every program.
Everywhere.
Just tiny bits of Barrowman, just enough to go around.
You said Bratva, and I just twinkled in my mind the tattoo. The significance of the tattoo, we knew it represented Bratva, but the fact that Anatoly said, A, you're one of my favorite Americans, and B, it shows, because he's like, you don't gotta do all this, and one of the things he says, no, it shows that you are a captain. It shows what kind of man you are, so wherever you go in the world, Bratva will recognize.
Yeah, it's visual shorthand for I have authority in the organization that you're in.
Right, and so now you have Prometheus, Adrian, he's not wearing the mask, so he's just going to be Adrian.
That asshole.
Burning it. Yeah, you have that asshole. Someone's going to make some crazy screenshots of me with all my weird facial expressions. It's going to be awesome. But anyhow, so you have him burning off the tattoo, and obviously he knows it represents Bratva. We also know that Adrian likes to do his homework, but does he realize what specifically that tattoo represents? Not just the fact that you are a part of it, but the captain aspect of it, because that's so much more.
He does. He comments on the fact that to get that tattoo, you must have really done something special. So he doesn't know specifically, but again, that's one of those things where if Susan Williams could get a hold of the picture of him with the Bratva, yeah, I bet Adrian Chase, give him an hour and any one of our phones, and he could probably figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that, yep.
Yep, okay.
So it's, you're no longer allowed to have that tattoo, goodbye. Like, that is a very physical, intimate, and horrifying thing, because you're taking something that is supposed to be permanent and burning it away, like, say goodbye to this part of your identity.
Really quick, I like that somebody says, hashtag that asshole.
If you've never heard me say, and then there's this asshole, you have never watched any video that I've ever been in. Let's be real.
I have to say, because at Billie Jean Girl is always so great at sending us these wonderful gifts, and I'm on my phone at the moment, so I can't pull them up or anything like that, but I know that she's talking about the fact that, you know, her reaction when Oliver was saying that he was over being the Green Arrow, and a few other people in our chat have brought that up. We just haven't talked about it yet since it was the end of the episode, but I think
just
it's
a little bit.
Well, yeah, you're right. But it was, it's definitely, yeah, okay. Okay, you know what, you guys are right.
Come on, buddy.
Yeah.
You want to go have a catch? Let's go have a catch. Come on, come with your old buddy Diggle. We'll go out back, have a catch.
Can we get him some medical attention first?
Well, we also learned the fact that it has been officially 6 days, and that's a long time for him to be in captivity, missing. Especially for him.
I'm very glad that they dropped that and that they gave us the, it's been 6 days, and so we're not sitting here wondering, has it been 24 hours or 24 weeks?
Right.
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 Either way, do I think it's permanent? No, and I'm just saying that because people were asking. No, absolutely not. We wouldn't have the show era. Would he drop out for a few episodes? He's done it before, like you guys mentioned.
Can you imagine if
when
this
was dead? Yes.
Can you imagine if this was the finale? Can you imagine if it wasn't coming back after this? Or they just call it like Diggle and Friends?
That would be awesome.
And like occasionally they visit Oliver, and Oliver just like sits quietly in a hotel room where he lives now. He's holed up like Howard Hughes. His fingernails are super long.
Ew.
That's depressing.
That got really weird really quickly, and I feel like Stephen Amell would not be down.
But you know what? I want to see him play it, and then he'd have the beard again. Yeah, no, obviously he'll... But I'm very curious to see how. It's not... We know eventually somehow he's going to rally, he's going to return, he's going to put the hood back on, and he's going to get back out there in time to stop evil, as they do.
Right.
But it'll be very interesting to see how they go about getting him from this point back to that point, which is why I'm hoping, like we were talking about before, I'm hoping they use this opportunity to really delve into the psychology of Oliver Queen in way that we haven't in the past.
And it would be cool, this is random thought, but it would be cool for them to do that for his team to really truly understand him, and especially Felicity, because they did have that relationship, and because who he was and who she wanted him to be were two different things, and the lying and the this and that. And understandably, when you're in a relationship with somebody, you don't want them to keep secrets. But if maybe for once she could really, really step in his shoes, like I get it's frustrating, but if you really got to understand who he was, you go, oh, okay. Not that he's been open with that information, but it's just, it would be nice for everybody else to see that perspective.
The thing is that we as the audience have had the opportunity to see Oliver go through all of this. We get to see everything go down blow by blow. That is, I would imagine, that would take a very long time to recap Oliver time. And it would be extremely painful. He wouldn't remember all of the details, just the big ones, things might get mixed up. Like, we have the benefit of being able to play armchair psychologist because we've seen the entire story thus far. They haven't, and they'll never have the benefit of that third-person point of view into Oliver's past.
Right.
So there's only so much understanding that they'll be able to manage. Do I want to see him take a crack at it and really talk with him? Hell yes, I do. But I'm saying that they're not going to get the same viewpoint that we, the viewers, have simply because the fourth wall.
Right. Really quick, so I know that we got started. We actually started on time, guys.
So yeah, we did.
That means it's been about an hour, which means we're probably going to get kicked off really soon. So I want to make sure we've hit all our topics because I do want to hit news and gossip. A lot of people in the panel are talking about Roy Harper and how he was underused and he needs to come back. Do I agree? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But regardless,
I'd like to see him again.
I mean, all over the place.
I wouldn't mind, but I'm not like, we need him.
I think I just miss him. I like Colson Haynes a lot. But either way, Thea's taken a break, whether you realize it or not. She's not been there. So, and she'd mentioned she's taking a break. So yeah, maybe there's just not purpose for him just yet.
Yeah, and I would rather keep him sidelined until there's a really organic way to put him back into the story. As much as I would love to see him back in that role again and have him hanging out with everybody, I think they're doing such a good job at utilizing all of the pieces on the board right now, and nothing feels completely superfluous. So I would hate to see him shoehorned. That's the way I'm going to choose to phrase that.
Oh, no, I like forcibly inserted.
Nope, I would hate to see him shoehorned into at least the back part of this series.
For the sake of having a cameo.
Right, where we don't need it, where it might only serve to slow things down.
Right. All right, guys, well, let's get into our news and gossip so we have time for all that. TV news. Now, some of this information was actually courtesy of somebody on Twitter. So, yes, it is so important that you tweet at us and we have conversations. If some of us don't get to you right away, this one over here, I apologize, but I do eventually get to my Twitter. Either way, somebody had given me a little inside on, we'll see which video pulls up before I start segueing and it's a totally different video. So, engineer, whatever you pull up first, I will go ahead and narrate. Yeah. All right, so it looks like we're going to get the fitness one first. So we'll go ahead and just hit play, and I can talk you through it.
Yo, Stephen and Mel, this is me doing the Sally Up. We're going to crush you. You don't even know. You don't even know you couldn't make it to the end. Well, look it. Watch this. We're going to get this. We're going to Sally all the way down to Sally Francisco. We're going to get this shit done. You heard me? You heard me? You heard me here first. Heard me here first, Stephen and Mel. This might be a shit.
Felicity is cussing. What is going on?
I genuinely hope that we get this scene before the end of the season.
God bless this wonderful.
Well, and the thing is, the next video, like, she's starting to... Oh, I'll explain the Sally challenge in a second. And P.S., she also has the same...
She's got the septum piercing.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
They hide it so well on the show, both her and when...
But don't you really just flip them up, basically?
But you can... Well, yeah.
Or just either not wear it.
Or just take it out.
No,
but if you're really like, I can't, it's a part of me.
No,
you can just...
it'll close.
In a couple of hours?
I don't know about the septum, but I've had other regions of my face pierced, and it was amazing how quickly, in a few hours of a work shift, I would come home and be like, ow! Ow! Trying to put it back in. So
I have
questions. And they have 14-hour days. Anywho, irrelevant. What I do want to say is, if you guys missed some of our other episodes, the Sally Challenge is something that Stephen Amell had been trying so hard to beat. And it was a song, the song Sally, and he was trying to hold and do... almost like a reverse crunch, if you will, and he couldn't make it to the end of the song, and she actually did at the end of that. So that was her calling out Stephen Amell, being like, what? She's the first Arrowcast member to finish that. And as I've been doing my research on Instagram, I've noticed that all of the Arrowcast members have begun to train with the same dude. His name is Buddy. Forgive me, I forget his Instagram name. But here, we'll go ahead and hit play on this one, because it's fun. We get Echo, and then we get Renee. What is his name?
I don't know.
Either way, so now she's using the two of them as planks, and they have 1 foot in the TRX band. Might I remind you that it looks easy, but TRX bands are definitely very challenging to hold your weight because it's so unstable. Echo's dying. There's actually another video, too, where Echo and Renee, I'm just going to call him Renee, were tossing a kettlebell back and forth and trying to do burpees in the meantime. But wow. It was cute. It's fun. And I love the fact that they're all not only training for this show, because technically they don't have to be as fit as Oliver, because Oliver does most of the fighting.
But if you can get that training for free, why?
But not even that. The fact that they do it together as a team, a cast, and as an actor, you know how valuable it is to just connect and be around those people to establish even a deeper connection. So when you're working, so I think it's really awesome that they do that. Now, this, I've come to the conclusion, to be on Arrow, one of the prerequisites is that you have to be able to sing. These people are so talented, just in general in life, that I love seeing people from a different perspective. So let's watch this one real quick. Prometheus. He's talking about screwing, if you didn't catch that.
Yeah, no, like I picked up on that. It has a very peppy tone and very sad lyrics.
Yeah.
Songs like this.
All I'm saying is that Flash Supergirl musical seems to have been pretty well received. So next year, when they're doing another one,
the return of the music meister.
Is there anybody on that cast on Arrow that does not sing?
Does Stephen Amell sing?
Yeah. Hello, did you not hear him sing The Little Mermaid?
That's true.
I mean, and not professionally, but he's very much capable.
But he could totally do it.
Oh, yeah.
I hope at the end of... All right. If you haven't seen the musical, I won't spoil anything for you. But at the... There is no... Music Meister could potentially return at some point in the future, and now all I want in this life is to see him go to Star City and make all of these characters sing together.
That would be lovely.
That's it.
Lovely. All right, let's get into our predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So really quick, what's interesting to me is in the next episode, you know, they give us these awesome montages that somehow are pieced together to think the show is going one direction, it goes a different direction. But we did hear Oliver say to Anatoly to kill Chase.
Yes.
Why Anatoly? And is he still hesitant in next episode to go forth? Or is it, I don't want to prove that he is correct and my enjoyment to kill, so I'm not going to kill you.
But he still needs to die.
Yeah. So, Anatoly, you go do
this. Well, it makes sense to go to Anatoly, because if you need to call in the Bratva, you go to the guy who's A, in charge, B, your buddy.
And a gangster.
And you also, I feel like he can trust that Anatoly's not going to... And if you go to Anatoly, he's going to bring in the right people. A, that you can trust, and B, more importantly, that you can trust to get it done.
Yeah.
But can anybody fight the way that Chase does? Because the hood has always
still
been
in the neighborhood.
Like, perhaps. Did she just show up, put an arrow in Oliver's leg, and go, peace, I'm out.
Perhaps. Gotta go back to my dojo in the middle of literal nowhere.
I don't know. You know what? I'm gonna predict that there is going to be a very huge fight. Like, we're gonna see another big team-on-team fight. I don't know if I really believe the Bratva is great at fighting. I think they're great at weaponry, but the actual physical act of
fighting, they
lose a lot.
There's a lot of pew-pew-pew. I do believe, if I'm not very much mistaken, the producers have commented that in the finale, the conflict is going to be, it's going to be incredibly, very deadly serious, but it's not going to be the entire city is in peril the way it's been
in
seasons past. It's going to be a very, very personal struggle. I predict, in general, I'm hoping that they continue to be as fearless as they seem to be tonight, and they are not afraid to continue to go dark. That's not me, like, rooting for blood necessarily.
It doesn't
but
need to be Game of Thrones.
No, it absolutely doesn't. But I love the fact that this felt like they weren't holding back at all. And I want to see them continue to go in that direction, because I think down that road lie the greatest possibilities. And the stuff that I'm most excited to see from specifically this corner of this shared universe. My more specific prediction involves Kovar. And I'm wondering, you've got a gigantic Russian dude. In a world where your Anatoly Gnaizev on this show is about as far from comic book Anatoly as you get. In the comics, Anatoly is the KG beast. This is not that Anatoly. in a world where that is true, I'm wondering, you've now risen Kovar from either death or near death, as it were. He's probably not going to come back exactly the way he was before. Maybe Dolph Lundgren, Constantine Kovar, is the Arrowverse's KG Beast.
Does the scar have anything to do with... Because he got whacked across the face really badly, and that's a very distinctive scar. Artful enough that it managed to miss both of the eyes.
Yes. But... Well, they're the windows to his soul.
It's more to the point where I love the little artful scars that go over an eye, because it's like, okay, they just didn't press that extra half inch and pop your eyeball. Gotcha. You were lucky. So I like that we had a very heartfelt, no, I'm trying to take his face off scar, but that we somehow managed to miss both eyes.
Hey, you know what? Your nose protrudes a little bit. Maybe the bridge protected some of the eye socket.
Oh, no, it was an angle thing. Oh. It never actually went straight over one of his eyes. It was just the angle managed to miss them both.
Oh, who knows? Look.
I'm saying I don't believe aesthetic eye scars, because people should be missing eyes.
Got it.
So I'm glad they didn't go that way.
Got it. Well, yeah. All right. I think we covered all our
iTunes.
Predictions. All right. You go pull those up.
I have my iTunes reviews, and...
We got it. We got borrowed time. Let's go.
Go, 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 go.
Go, fight, win. Okay, we have a few new ones. First of all, thank you to everyone who has gone onto iTunes, who has rated, who has commented, who has subscribed. When you leave a rating, when you leave a comment, it helps raise our rankings in iTunes. So that way, for me, I just put in arrow. Our show is the first one that comes up. We love you guys.
That's so
thank
exciting.
You. And also, our producers take a look at these reviews. They see that that you guys like seeing us as an after show. And so they keep us on the air season after season. So if you want to keep us on the air as an after show, best thing you can do, go on to iTunes, search Arrow AfterBuzz, subscribe to the podcast, rate it 5 stars, or rate it whatever you think we deserve. But guys, you know, 5 stars, we love you. Come on. And leave a review. And of course, if you leave a review, you get a shout out on the show. I don't know if you guys did one last week? iTunes?
No, I don't think so.
No. All right, we're going to look at the last three. We have Great So Great by Patrick. You guys really... Yeah, that's how it's spelled.
Patrick.
P-E-E-A-A-T-R-I-C-K. You guys do a really great job recapping each and every week, and I love listening. Thank you.
Thanks, Patrick.
We have I Called It from Icon. I called it. I said on AfterBuzz YouTube Arrow section that Talia al Ghul is the real villain of the season, and Prometheus was working for her. We finally have a female big bad. Love the show. Love you guys. I followed Ali Kona today on Instagram. I gave you guys a 5-star rating, because I know you will earn it, as you always do. And love it from Wes White. Great podcast. I love the insights and the connection to the Arrow community. Keep up the great work. We love you guys. Seriously, rate, comment, subscribe. Mwah. It is the best way to keep us on the air as a podcast and to help new people discover us. Thank you.
Yay. Okay, so I want to take it to the front and say thank you guys so much. As always, we have so much fun with you guys. Thank you for leaving your comments on iTunes, on Facebook, on Instagram, on wherever you are. Be sure to follow us at AfterBuzzTV. And, of course, follow all your hosts individually, because we love talking to you guys. I'm at Ali Kona. Wait, no, I'm not. I am Ali Kona Bradford, but I'm at BoysInBeauty01 on Instagram, at Boys_and_beauty_AliKona. And, of course, these awesome individuals.
Duh, I'm blushing. I'm Lex Michael, all over social media at TheLexMichael. And if you're a fan of DC on the CW on ABTV, I'm all over this block. I'm talking Supergirl Monday nights, Legends of Tomorrow Tuesday nights, and Arrow every Wednesday with these fine people. But you already know that because you're here too, and we love you for it. Mwah.
And hi, my buddies. I am Katie Cullen. You can find me on all the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. Star Wars Rebels has its explosive season finale on Sunday at 7 p.m. We moved time slots so we could have more time to talk about it. Next week, not this Sunday, but the Sunday after that, we are starting up the Samurai Jack after show at 8 p.m. Iron Fist just started. That is Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Obviously, we're here for Arrow. And on Fridays, I am on Geek and Sundry for Gather Your Party. Join us for video games, and we've partnered up with Robot Teammate, and life is just great.
I love
you
how
can
the
follow Tari. Give him your best well wishes, because he's a little under the weather today. On Instagram, on Twitter at Tari J, TauriJay.
I was just gonna say, I love how everybody talks super fast as soon as the music comes on, because we're like, oh my god, we gotta get our information.
We gotta get the job done. Gotta start.
That's our best auctioneer impression. We will see you next week. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Goodbye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Thanks. stuck. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.